all of you who are group leaders or others to just think that way. You sacrifice your time, your something, for what? For higher purpose, to know what. Where is the resentment between the two? He leaves the place and goes away. Then, well, it is not part of the science. Because we are all not perfect as yet. You see, we are on the way. Some are more, some less, the others less. But you make an allowance for that, you see. But don't forget to attend your group meetings. Besides that, if you leave away that, then you led away. Because there the question is, this lesson is revived. Mind that. You go to church, I don't mind.
Learn mind.
Yes. If you go there, I tell you one thing more. If you find truth anywhere else, tell me, I will also follow you. That's all. Yes.
Master, something very elusive.
Yes, sir.
Happened to me last night at 1 o'clock when I was sleeping.
Yes.
I wake up and heard your voice calling my name.
Yes.
Very, very strong.
That's all.
Is that bad or good?
I know it's bad because I couldn't sleep all night.
I really ask you because your voice, I never heard anything in my life before. Except knocking at the doors or things like that. But your voice was so clear, calling that the whole room was like a sun.
Yes, sir. I tell you now, as I've explained many times, Son of Man is not the master. Son of Man is a human poet at which that God is the master only who works there. And it is that God power which goes round awakens all those who are initiated. And also, those who have got some background even appears to them. Although they do not know who is who, you see? This is God power. When the man is initiated, that master power and God power resides with him. Call it Christ power or Guru power. And is ever on the guide to bring him up. If we cannot say to him, he will be guiding you, speaking to you by manifesting himself and otherwise. Once or twice, for a time, we don't care, you lose your chance. But still he is there. Whenever you turn your face to him, he is there.
Master, your voice was very clear, and after that, since I couldn't sleep all night, I had very funny and different things in the room, but I just called and was...
That the best thing was sit in meditation. That's all. It happens sometimes, those who have not seen the form of the Master out of they never heard about him for years before they having the manifestation of that form. And they are wondering what is that. Then when they met you, oh, I saw you 3 years back. Well, it is God power that appears. We are all in the make. Yes, Paul. Yes, please.
Master, when I go back now, I have certain questions to answer. Would you say that man was spiritually dead originally, and this whole thing is a return to become spiritually alive?
I tell you, in the scriptures we sometimes find the word soul is dead. In Christian literature also and others too. What do they mean? Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, who is conscious, become conscious of the divine plan, who knows, sees God. All others are dead. You follow me? Those with attention is identified with the all outside things that you consider to be a debt, but really not debt. You see? This is what is meant by all scriptures. Soul is never debt. But when its whole attention is absorbed in outer things, material things, it is defined as debt. If you withdraw it, it is already there, but awakens. Anything else? Yes, please.
Obviously, I tend to record every single the number of thought periods that you have in our diary. The actual numbers for each one.
Like what?
I want to attempt to record the number of thought periods
that I sent you, in that very column, what can you give? You can give only the number of pages. What does it have? That number of pages will guide you. You're getting down in that straight side to read out. You're calling it, that's all.
We know that we can still build karma if we're not very careful in this life.
Yes.
And there are many things that we're still not clear in our mind. Among them is a question regarding animals.
Yes.
We all love animals dearly, but there are those among us throughout the country or the world for that matter, who sometimes feel such compassion and sympathy for animals that have been neglected, that they take it upon themselves to try to feed and house these little creatures. Now, the question is, when a person will take these animals for the love and care of perhaps find another home for them, when they have these many creatures, are they by chance taking on a karma that is the animal's karma? Are they taking that karma on themselves?
Look, yeah. Scriptures are very clear about it. Absolutely ruminate on them. Well, soul is in everybody, in the animal soul, you think. Love them for the God in them, for the soul in them, not as body. You love man, why not love creatures, even animals? If you love even serpents, they won't harm you. They've got the soul in them. So the pity it is, we love the animals, but not love the brother fellows. They're no harm. You may have movement for animal pity on the animal kingdom. After they have no court to go to complain what atrocities are extended to them by man. You see? That's all right. But for that reason, you hate all other men. Love all. But for the life, for the soul and God in them. If you only do it for that sake, naturally as you think, so you become. If you forget God, then wherever you attach, you'll go. So love all these, love God, love man, love animals, love birds. You see? Even I tell you, speed and soul, even the snakes, you love them, don't harm you, they come to sit by you. And it happened so many times in the life history of many masters. In our case too, and then there was something going on like that. One cobra came up and stood up on the ground. In the presence of so many, about 2,000 people were there. They said, cobra, oh, never mind. You were looking at me. So one hour or more, the further top lost it. When the top was out, he sneaked away. And the people said, let us kill him. What, why? So they have got also sent. They have got souls. So love everybody. Nobody will harm you. In this way, no harm you. Loving of animals is good. You love the snakes. Love the animals. The God in them, for the soul in them, for that reason. Then there's no binding. If you just love them for their own sake, you're bound. Yes, you think so?
Well, I can say, I have a policy of my own that, like I see many people, you know, today they take animals into their home, they take them to bed with them, and...
That is what I'm telling you, for the God and the soul in them, do what you can.
Yeah, but, I mean...
But love them more than men.
No. Well, in other words, then I am doing the right thing when I don't want them in my bedroom or in my house.
Well, look, I'm just give them facilities. That's all. We love, and this is what I said, we go too far, you see, forgetting, you see, I tell you. There's a story in the Quran, Mohammedan scriptures. One was a lover of God, he was just always devoted all time. In his prayers and everything. there was a bird on another tree close by. His wife was very sweet. What he did, he just left his place and sat under that tree where that wife is usually here. He would say a prayer, but his whole love was for the bird. And the God of it told him, look here, you love more bird than me, I leave you. Love all for the sake of God. Love one another for the sake of God in man. Then there's no harm. If anything goes wrong, go straight privately and meet and clarify before going to bed. Because the other day might think of some other thing. Forgive and forget. Go with a clean heart into the lap of God. That's the best thing. It is when we forget these things, their trouble arises.
You love them in their play.
Yes, sure.
Certain people attach too much importance to the animal and forgot their meditation.
That's right.
They don't know how in the world it's very hard to take care of the people.
God loves them, you see. And I told you, you God and soul in them, but it's the highest duty to love God. No, I told you that Bhakta, he spent all his life, but he was just attached to this sweet wife of the bird and left his place, lived there, and God said, well, you have more love for that, not for me. You love him for his sake, then you are saved. Otherwise, you are bound.
Now such the time is yes, short, yes. There are many things to be done.
Or else what you want? Somebody.
What else do you want?
A little further on that question now. Now, if we love these animals for the love of God that within them seasons they are a living soul also, is it possible for us in any way, in this great love that we have for those animals, to help them to go through their lives faster and perhaps go through their evolution and come into this?
Look here, I tell you, your intellect is going too far into the thing now. I have told you, love all. Do best for their love. Bring them up. But don't forget your connection with God. In their service, for the sake of your bird's wife, you leave God, that is no wise thing. Do first mind your own business first. Charity begins at home. You do help love in yourself. Don't be wanting there. Then extend your love to everybody.
But
that's today we're taking animals and experimenting upon them, giving them cancer and all kinds of diseases.
Has man got a right to do that?
What do you mean, man? Well,
I'll tell them
that's all you can
to be better. But no, but you know that the experimental laboratory.
That is done, you see, for the sake of saving man's life. That is higher life. That's the thing is done. Thing is even by eating, by breathing. And that is something, if doctors are not trained by giving that thing, how can you be saved? For higher thing you to do, but you cannot be absolved from the sin unless you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Yes? This is what I've been said.
If you are hungry, then...
No, before hungry, I will tell them something. You see? Well, that is. Where am I saying? Perhaps... Physically, I may meet you again or not. But now I tell you a few parting words. First of all, I wish you what you've got by the grace of God, develop it from day to day. That will please you most and please the God in me and the God overhead. Don't miss that thing. Leave all things and attend to God every day first. Be devoted, surrender, you see, to God in all your actions. For that first thing, you see. For that two things are very important. I would say three. First, love. God is love and we are love. What's on your way? And the way back to God is love. If you go to develop your love for God, do it. If you go to develop love with your own selves, at the cost of the love for God, then leave it. You see? Love knows service and sacrifice. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burden. Love knows giving, not taking. These words I am telling for all. whether they are Rishis, group in charge, or representatives. They are there to give, not to take anything. What you give, what you know. By physical, also what you can serve others. Financially, also to the best you can. And all should share, but stand on your own legs. By honest means, then stand on your own legs, maintain your families, and try to help others who are needy, hungry, naked, and for the cause of God. Share something, no taxation, no imposition. Maybe one cent. This is the one thing, you see? Love for all. If love for all, why not love between the brothers? You have been just connected in a relation which can never break even after death. You see? Because you are all on the way, the same way. Direct contact with God. This is the first. When you know love, you cannot hate anybody. You never think evil of others. You never speak of others. You never suffer to hear evil of others. You never think of evil of others. Love knows all these things. For the sake of, for want of this, all this stuff for yourself. You come to the satsang for the sake of Master, not A, B, C, D. All are there for the sake of the Goswami. You see? Stand on your own legs. Don't try to make further karmas by grabbing, by receiving, by exacting from others. Those are needy, they have the right to give them. Those are naked actors. We have the good cause you them. This is first thing for love. Then comes sinlessness, purity of thought, chastity. This is what is mostly needed. If you have no chaste lives, a married life has been defined in scripture, try to come up to that standard. When you are married to one, remain married to one. Not everybody. I'm sorry to say this word because I find this almost everywhere. Women and gold, two are the things, greatest impediments on our way. Take as the preacher say. Live on your earnings, don't depend on others. Help in the cause, share with others who are needy. And chase life. Okay? And in kind words, if they love their kind words, no harshness. If there is anything crab that, well, reconcile before you go to sleep. That's because the two masters have enjoined always. If any two brothers have not agreed, something wrong they are going to bed again. No, don't go to bed unless you reconcile. That's why Christ said, if you do not love your brothers whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? So he says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. You know, try to just promote the cause of God. It's no man's work, God's work. You know you're convinced of the truth of it. Maybe little, but it goes further, you see. That is the basic principle of all religions. Help, if you can, for the cause. Help other needy, hungry, naked, etc. That you can do only if you simplify your life. You got too much. You cannot stand on your own legs, how can you help others? That is why I said in my, when my circle, simplify. Simplify and simplify. Share with others. So long you have got this body, all is gift. Don't like that. Such a man, you see, will command respect from everybody. Who is chaste, who is not greedy, we love for all who have kind words due to the merit. I think this is all I want of love. And adhering to this very thing, because man's life is meant for knowing God. Hell will come to you unasked for. If a child is asleep, mother has to take care of her. If any snake comes, mother will kill herself. rather allow the snake to go to the nearest child. Because that God power or the Christ power is with you uninitiated. That is the Guru power of the Master. That will look after you. The child has no love for the other than his mother. He's full of it. You know, lion comes, the child will run to the mother. Probably if the lion might be a mate, he's after the mother too. But he has full faith. So if you have full faith, you can change and remove the mountains. But faith is the root cause of religion, and practically you are saying you have got something which is referred to in the scriptures. Rather from day to day, I wish each one of you to be a master at our throat. Harvest is much. Laborers are wanted, but the laborers should be ideal, society. Everyone should be ideal. An example is better than saying things and not living up to them. That's a bad example for others, others won't reject it. They won't accept you. When you see the single, he's doing everything. He's just women and old affections as much as to them. Then why? He cannot discover. Anybody cannot come out of the speck. There's only two ways in which you can come out of the speck from everybody. Even whom you do not know, because your words will be charged with that life. There's a very simple verse. They tell, they affect others, and you may give a long yarns that does not affect anybody. Reason why? The light is not there. Oh, be practical, listen. Try to reform others, all the world over will be reformed. We reform others and don't reform ourselves, that's the reason why it all this stuff. And this is all I think I can tell you. And my best wishes will be with you, the God in me, and my Master Craig. You have got each one or two put on the
And here I would like to express my gratitude to the great Master.
Well, no need of expressing up. Now you see, it's my duty regarding me. So thank you for that. But I will be thankful to you, grateful to you, if each one of you live up to what I've told. I'll be thankful. That's all I can
say. I'm also grateful to all the devotees here, the great church, Mr. Sharon, and all my friends, John, Bird, and all of them here, Andy Blavin, Ann Blavin, and here Dr. Audrey and Dr. Dawn. They have been very kind, and I'm sure that the people you find here totally with the Master on one point.
Because you are not greater than Master.
Yes, sir.
But don't give them misunderstanding, please.
The Master said that there might be last coming.
I told you the correct thing. It is all up to God. Don't overrule it.
Yes, that's all.
Sometimes in our jealousy, we say so many things. Well, it is in the hand of God, no comment, please.
Master will have mercy upon us and will pay us more visits because we need the Master much in America than in
India. Well, I have come only in the guidance of God if you have come this time.
This is,
you see, his work he will carry. Of course, it is time, your wishes are appreciable, you see. I quite appreciate that. But it is all in the hands of who knows what happens. Tomorrow or day
night.
Well, Master
is still young and he can pay us visits.
Well, so long I'm always young. No question is about God. You see, His grace, if He wants, I will come. If your wishes are there, God may agree.
He will be paying us visits. So we all unite together and thank His God financially, physically, or in every way. That would bring great peace all over the world.
But my greatest pleasure will go to you who live up to what you are told to do. That's all. Poor and rich alike, higher and lower, group leaders, initiators, everybody, God, we are all equal, you see, we are all done with this person, God, you see. It is the grace of God that helps you. That will also continue helping you, that's all. Unasked for, without any compensation.
That's your one.
Well, please, what have you said now like a madman?
Thank you, Master, for calling me mad because I'm madly in love with you.
And by your grace and by your power, that your work should be glorified through us, because you said that all creation comes to glorify the works of God, and that we should all come with a sweet and tender heart.
Thank you. God will appreciate all that. He is that. He's been giving that. Well, for God's grace, you see, He gives as one is deserving. He can contain that much, you see. And that is for all, not for one. But he's awaiting anybody should turn up his thing, you see, that's all. Father wishes every one of his children to stand on it, to be more than himself. You see?
So we are celebrating Master's birth anniversary on January 25th, 64 in Washington.
The question of South America is decided. That's about.
Still we have put 25th on that year.
No, I tell you, if that is on, then it's all right 25th. If that is eliminated, then the date will be earlier. That should be decided. You can inform me later. Look here. I tell you about the birthday question, you see. I think he should celebrate the pleasure of meeting somebody in whom the God manifested every day morning, with every breathing. This only historically, you see, you gather together to revive that lesson. Through celebration of God's name, you live up to what He says. That's all. These become generally ceremonies. I think the greatest celebration of this birth lies in the fact by whose grace I was able to communicate these things to you. That is my mother. So, in the celebration of the day of birth, everything comes in. But celebrate every day. Remember, that's all. Live up to that. That's it. I think the highest form of celebration of any mortal. So, that's what I want.
So we are fixed on January 25th in case of J.A., we shall let you know.
Yes.
That will be first time in the history celebrating Living Master's birthday in America. So all are welcome, those who would like to come.
And bring all friends to your enemy. He has good wishes, you see. Even he has got the good wishes for your friends, so. That's all right.
Very good.
As a true friend, I have good wishes in him. Yes, Mr. Parent? Mr. Parent? You want to say anything?
I want to say what Jerry said. I'm so grateful to John Blade because it does take a big man to get up and say what he said.
Yeah, no, we are. You see, it's hard. Love knows no outer things. Heart speaks to heart better. I regard love for Mr. Perrin and his wife. You see, for all others who are just doing their best selflessly without letting anybody know. You see what Christ said, if your right hand doesn't let left hand do not know. And Mr. Perrin is one of that kind, you see. That is service. I know at late at night, one or two, he is washing the vessels of all of you. He doesn't say anybody. I have appreciation for all that. I love for all, you see. All right, now give them food.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The beautiful recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of The Things Love Knows. It was given on January 7th, 1964 in Miami, Florida. Our reader this morning is Eileen Picorni. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning, everybody. This morning we will be reading from The Wheel of Life, Chapter 3, page 26, and it's we'll start kind of overlapping where I left off last time. It's about the middle of the page. The Master, as Word personified or polarized God, knows all about disciples, whether they may be either at a distance or near at hand. He may even take over by the law of sympathy the burden of karmas of his devoted disciples on his shoulders to bear himself. For the law of nature has got to be compensated in one form or another. This happens in very rare cases, as Master may think fit. Besides, no disciple would like to adopt a course in which the Holy Master should suffer for his wrongs. On the contrary, a disciple must learn to pray to his master sincerely, and if he does so, all feasible help is sure to come to relieve him or to soften the situation and to minimize the resultant suffering. The soul itself becomes strong by feeding on the bread of life and by drawing sustenance from the water of life. There are, however, things over which man has no appreciable control. The first is the sweets and bitters of life, with comforts and discomforts, physical as well as mental. Number two, riches, opulence, and power or destitution, penury and abjectiveness. And three, name and fame or notoriety and downright oblivion. All these are the usual adjuncts of life on earth and come and go as predestined. All human endeavors are directed to gaining one or more of the sweets of life and in avoiding what is bitter without realizing that life itself is as evanescent as a cloud, a shadow without substance, a mere mirage and the will of the wisp, ever flitting and looting the unwary pilgrim on the scorching desert sands of time. The Master Saints, by precept and practice, bring home to the Jiva the illusionary nature of the world and all that is worldly, and manifest in him the perennial foundation of life, finding which one gets saturated to become the very marrow of his bones, and the fibers of his beings becomes fully satisfied, able to sing away life itself. Kriyaman karmas. These are the karmas that we daily do during our present sojourn on the earth plane. In this respect, every disciple is enjoined to lead a strictly chaste and pure life hereafter in thoughts, words, and deeds, and to abstain from all that is evil. For any violation or disregard in this behalf is bound to bring trouble in its wake, and the price of sin is nothing short of death. Death at the very roots of life. The question here arises as to how Master Saints take over some of the burdens of karmas of the Jivas under special or rare circumstances and manage to rid them of the implacable effect. The karmas connected with a physical body, as said above, are to be borne on the physical body. J. Doan says, God clothed himself in a vile man's flesh, that so he might be weak enough to suffer woe. We have in history an incident that occurred in the story of Babur, the first Mughal king in India. His son, Humanun, felt seriously ill, and everyone despaired of his life. The king, in silent sympathy, prayed to God that he might be permitted to take over his son's illness. And strange as it may seem, from that very moment, the tables were turned. The prince began gradually to recover, while the king languished and died. This is just a single instance of vicarious suffering on the human plane. The Master is the Lord of compassion. In his kingdom, which is boundless, there is no count of the deeds. Embedded in the divine, he grants contact to each individual with the saving lifelines within, which serve as a sheet anchor in times of distress. The ship may toss on the stormy waters of life, but being moored to the floating buoy, it keeps steady on its keel, in spite of the stormy winds and waters around. Man is irresistibly forced to come onto the stage of the world blindfold, just to reap the fruits of his prolonged karma, of which he has no knowledge whatsoever. He is not even aware of the workings of the physical plane, not to speak of higher regions. With all his professions and protestations, he renders a lip service to God, having no access to the inner divine links, the saving lifelines, the light and the voice of God. He does not even know the nature of his own self and spends his time in sense pleasures. He takes himself to be but a creature of chance and lives by chance, a mere puppet on the stage of life. A saint, on the other hand, comes with a commission and a purpose. He is God's elect, his Messiah and his prophet. He works in his name and by the power of his word. He has no independent will of his own apart from the will of God, and being a conscious co-worker with him on the divine plan, he sees the hidden hand of God in all affairs of life. Living in time, he really belongs to the timeless. He is master of life and death, but is full of love and compassion for the suffering humanity. His mission is to link such human souls with God, as may be yearning for reunion and may be an earnest quest. His sphere of action is quite distant from the independent avatars or incarnations, for the latter work only on the human plane. Their job is to keep the world in proper shape and order. Lord Krishna has declared that no ambiguous words, that he comes to the world whenever there is an imbalance in the forces of good and evil, the object being restored to the lost equilibrium, to help the righteous and to penalize the unrighteous. Similarly, we read of Lord Rama in the Ramchandramansa. He reincarnated himself when the evil in the world was in the ascent. The avatars come to reestablish righteousness. They cannot, however, throw open the prison gates of the world and take the jivas out into the spiritual planes. This work falls purely within the domain of the saints, who consciously act as co-workers with the power of God on the divine plan and teach the worship of the divine alone. For that alone puts an end to the effect of karma. A Muslim divine says, "At last it came to light that in the kingdom of the dervishes, karma count for naught." Again it is said, "A master saint chases away the karma which flies as jackals do in the presence of a lion." No one can escape from the fruits of his actions, not even the ghosts and spirits, nor the giants, demons, kanars, yakshas, kanarvas, devas, and the gods. Those with luminous astral and ethereal bodies enjoy the fruits of their actions in the region of Brahmand, the third grand division, above the first two, Pind and Ant. They too aspire for and await a human birth to get out of the clutches of karmic reactions. For in the human birth alone, there is a chance of contacting some God-man who may reveal to them the secret of the divine path, the sound current, or holy word. It would require many years of patient meditation for a man to be able to understand in some measure the arrangement of God's mighty administration. And very little can be said to the inquiring seeker at this stage. it is also equally different to understand a genuine spiritual master. But with this, a sant ordinarily plays the normal part of man while on this earth, and he always speaks of himself as a slave, a bondsman, and a servant of God and his people. In taking over the burden of the karmas of the devoted souls on his shoulders, a master saint does not overlook or eliminate the highest law. His position may be likened to that of a king in disguise, who, for ameliorating the condition of his subjects, freely mixes with them to understand their difficulties, and at times even shares with them their joys and sorrows. So far as the human body is concerned, a master saint makes use of this special divine concession. He may, in brief, reduce death by the guillotine to a thorn pick. At times, he allows his body to suffer in some slight measure, which for an ordinary individual might have been a great travail. In this way, he shows a man that all bodies do suffer, for this is nature's law for all embodied creatures. Physical life is all misery, declared Sakyamuni, Lord Buddha. Sant Kabir also declared that he has not seen a single human being who was happy, for each one whom he happened to come upon was in misery. Guru Nanak graphically draws a pen picture of the world as full of sorrows and suffering, humanity, except rare individuals who had taken refuge in Nam. It is because of this sad experience all around that we take the God-men for an ordinary being like ourselves. In suffering bodily pain, he plays the part of the man to all appearances, but internally, he is always separate from the physical body. The constant contact with the divinity within enables him to escape what may otherwise have been an unbearable sting for the disciple. Everyone who has been put on this path and is engaged in the process of inversion can withdraw his sensory currents from the body by concentrating them at the center at back of the eyes. There may be differences in the time required by different individuals to achieve this, but the results are sure to follow and are actually verifiable in each case. The devoted disciples on the path, even when on the operation table, voluntarily dispense with the usual administration to the patients of anesthetics. They withdraw their consciousness from the body and do not feel the effect of the surgeon's knife or lancet. Of Bahimani Singh, who was sentenced to death by cutting off each joint, it is said that he not only smilingly submitted to the process, but even remonstrated with the executioner to stick to the letter of the order when the latter tried to get rid of the nefarious job and wanted to make short work by cutting down the body part by part instead of joint by joint as ordered. The satsangis, who study things with open eyes, very frequently come across such cases. The souls that have inner access remain absorbed in the great self within and do not make a show of their capacities. This rule holds good for the simple reason that feats like this are calculated to pass for miracles and hence are to be avoided scrupulously. Saints do not display miracles, nor they do allow any of their disciples to indulge in such vainglorious and empty baubles. Saints, when seemingly ill, are generally seen taking medicinal dosage, as may be prescribed by the physicians, but actually they do not need such treatment. This they do in just to keep the worldly order of things. In this way, they set an example to man to continue this worldly routine wisely and resort to proper treatment whenever necessary. It is, of course, expected of the disciples to resort to such medications as do not contain products of or substances from animal sources. But some of the disciples who have unshakably faith in the benign power of the Master Healer within usually avoid the so-called remedial measures and allow nature to work on its own. For the healing power within is part and parcel of the human system. The bodily disorders as they come should be accepted and borne cheerfully, for they are generally the result of our own dietetic errors and can be set right by resort to proper hygienic measures and selective foods. Hippocrates, the father of the medical system, emphasizes that food should be taken as medicine. Even serious illness resulting from karmic reactions has to be tolerated with patience without grumbling or bitterness, because all karmic debts are to be paid and their accounts squared here and now. And the speedily it is done, the better, instead of keeping any outstanding balances to be paid hereafter. In the time of Hazrat Mian Mir, a great Muslim devout and mystic, it is said that one of his disciples, Abdullah, when down with an ailment, withdrew his sentry currents to the eye focus and closed himself safely in a citadel of peace. His master, Mian Mir, when he visited him, pulled Abdullah down to the body consciousness and ordered him to pay what was due from him, for he could not indefinitely evade the payment by such tactics. Unlike most of us, Master Saints do not devote much time to their bodily needs and cares. They consider the physical raiment as a mere rag to be cast off one day. They take heart to physical and mental labor as need be, seeking no rest and repose, not sleeping for nights on end. Such prodigious acts present a riddle to modern science, though it is a common practice with saints, for they are conversant with and make use of the higher laws of nature, of which we are quite ignorant. Deeds or karmas may be grouped under the heads of individual karmas and group karmas. The latter are karmas performed by a society or a nation as a whole, and these are termed as dharma. As an individual bears the fruit of his own karmas or actions, so does a society, for it has to bear the fruits of the general policies it pursues, with the result that innocent individuals have also to suffer for the wrongs and arising from wrongly conceived dharma of the society to which they belong. When Nadir Shah of Persia invaded India and ordered a general massacre of the people of Delhi, there was a general consternation among the populace, and it was believed that the social wrongs of the nation had assumed the form of Nadir. A just retribution for the sins of commission or omission is the very essence of the law of nature, and it visits in one form or another, call it what you may, furies, humanities, or anything else. And now we will proceed to chapter 4. In the scriptural text, we have an apt story of Raja Priktar, who had heard that whoever heard the Bhagwat recited by a pandit became a Jivan Mukat, a man freed from all bondage. One day he called his court priest and asked him to recite to him the elevated text of the Bhagavat so that he might escape from the bondage of mind and matter, and command that if his recitation did not prove the truth of the sacred teachings, the priest would be put to the gallows. The priest was no better than any one of us. He felt dismayed, for he saw death staring him in the face, as he knew full well that he could not help the king in attaining salvation. When he reached his home, he was downcast and extremely worried over his impending doom. On the eve of the day fixed for the recitation of the Bhagavad, the priest was half dead with fear. Fortunately for him, he had a talented daughter. On her solicitations, he revealed to her the cause of his miserable plight. The daughter consoled him and assured him that she would save him from the gallows if he permitted her to accompany him on the following day to the king's presence. The next day, she went to the royal court along with her father. She inquired if the king wanted freedom from bondage of the world, and the king replied in the affirmative. She told the king that she could help him in his much-cherished desire if he followed her advice and permitted her to do what she liked. She took the king and her father to the jungle with two stout ropes, and she tied tightly each one of them to a separate tree. She then asked the king to untie and free his priest. The king expressed his helplessness to do so as he was tied down himself. Thereupon the girl explained to him that one who was himself in bondage of Maya, or illusion, could not take another out of a similar bondage. The recitation of the Bhagavad could certainly break the magic spell of delusion if it were done by a freed person who had for himself broken through the delusion, and as such the king should not expect salvation from his royal prince, who was as much in fetters as the king himself. It is only ne karma, or one that in the kaba of karmas, who is competent to make others like himself and extricate them from the deadly karmic cycle. This, in a way, also illustrates that mere study of scriptures does not help much in giving moksha or salvation, which is purely and a practical theme and can be learned correctly and perfected by practice under an able guidance of an adept in the line. The Murshikadnil, or the perfect master, has first of all to piece together the broken tablet of the mind, torn by countless desires and aspirations, and make it into a perfect whole, and then to burnish it clean through and through, so as to make it capable of reflecting the light and the glory of God, which no amount of book learning would do. One cannot, of course, know and understand the true import of the scriptures unless the same are explained by some master soul who has himself experienced within the laboratory of his own mind what the scriptures say. Thus he can, from personal experience of his own, teach and guide the disciple in the highly esoteric teachings contained in terse epigrams which baffle the intellect, limit as it is in its scope and instruments of learning. This is why it is said, God comes handy in the company of a sadh, or a disciplined soul. One who is a freed soul can free another and none else. The study of the Vedas, the Puranas, and the etymology lead to naught. Without the practice of the holy word, one ever remains in utter darkness. A practical man of realization is at once all the scriptures combined, besides something much more than the scriptures, which, at best, contain the theory side in subtle language, but are incapable of explaining the theory itself by word of mouth, and cannot vouchsafe an actual experience of the same as the master does. Everyone these days tries to put the blame or fault for his ills on the times, and this complaint is the greatest complaint of all times. The present time, as well as the time to come, is no more ours than the time past. This world is a huge magnetic field, and the more we strive to get out of it, the more we are caught and entangled in its meshes. Man dances in the net and thinks that nobody sees him. The wise fill the net, but do not know where to sit easy. Thus, silently and ceaselessly, revolves the huge flywheel of the karmic mill. The giant wheel of life slowly, but unmistakably, pounding to pieces all alike. This mill of nature grinds all slowly, but surely. Some feel and say, it appears that nature made man, and then broke the mold. No one, however, tries to peer through the why and the wherefore of things, happenings and events, for we take everything complacently as it comes along the current of time. We do not try to divulge deep into them in order to trace out the links of the chain leading up to what we see and experience. Everyone in his dealings with others forgets that he has to pay for everything in this world. Even nature's gifts like space, light, air, etc. are not free for all, unlike to any appreciable extent. But each man thinks himself the sole custodian of free gifts of God. He attempts to be as liberal as possible, comes across several ill-set diamonds, men, and is affected by the law of give and take. It is after hard buffeting that we learn that scales make no distinction between gold and lead, but are concerned with the dead weight only. Every man knows that fog cannot be dispelled with a fan, and yet tries to do so, and thereby makes the confusion worse confounded. A person bound hand and foot in the endless chain of cause and effect cannot free others. When everyone in the world is fast asleep, who is there to waken and whom? It is only a freed man who can free others, if he so chooses, for the sins of commission and omission are the very essence of the law of nature, and sooner or later visit the doer in one form or another. In caging birds and keeping pets collared, chained, and imprisoned, one wrongly takes for granted that these poor dumb creatures have no court of law where they can lodge their complaint. He thinks that he has a right to deal with them as he pleases. He neither dreads to kill nor pays any heed to the common truth. As you sow, so shall you reap. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Every wrong has to be avenged. He says, slay shall be slain. He who lives by the sword perishes by the sword. One has to pay with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is as true today as it was in the time of Moses. Mary, no doubt, is the feast-making until comes the dreadful reckoning. We may shut our eyes to the law of nature. We may repose trust in the efficacy of the priestcraft, but it will never do any good. One has to pay a very heavy toll for killing, blood-sucking, and the like. Those who live and thrive on the blood of others cannot have a pure heart, much less assess the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Saints say that man occupies the highest place in God's creation, and it is endowed with super intelligence, and must not, therefore, pass his limited span of time blindfolded, like other creatures. The golden opportunity thus provided of returning and reverting to God's embrace and to its original home should not be lost. Such a sublime opportunity comes only after one has completely seen through the world exhibition and has successfully concluded his part in the grand drama of life. Well, we have come to the end of our time today. We were reading from the Wheel of Life. We finished Chapter 4 at the top of the page 39, and we will continue this the next time. Thank you, Master, for all your love and blessings.
And thank you, Eileen, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 79 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for your divine guidance.
We do not know how to liberate ourselves. Outgoing faculties are so strong that in spite of our wishing it, we cannot do it. When we become helpless and we cry, what does it happen? We are souls, as I told you, children of God. God is our true father. He sees my child as unhappy.